It's Urban Media Today Talks Sports. We got my man Ray Porter Jr. Got my man Vince Butts. Got a lot to talk about. It's been a few weeks, fellas. I mean, this is the first time back in almost a month, I think, to be honest with you. Beautiful Saturday morning. The fall is here. I guess, is it your favorite time of year, Vince?
No.
Okay.
All right. I mean, well, here, I'll say this. Weather-wise, I love the summer, spring going into the summer, and I love all summer because I like being outdoors and enjoying the good weather. Sports-wise, yeah, the fall and the winter are my favorite months because of football and basketball.
Yeah, I do agree. Sports-wise, definitely, because – you know, the NFL is what it is, as well as college football. And then, of course, the other three sports. You got the NHL, too.
I was going to say, and a little bit of baseball.
And you know what? Yeah. That's a good point. The postseason, absolutely. It's always the best. So, also, September, for me, is special because it's my birthday month. I turned 50 on the 28th, so September is always a special month. So
50 on the 28th, and that's today. Right. Okay. All right. Happy birthday to you, bro. No gray hair at all. Well, some people are naturally gray at a young age, man. So,
and it's a sign of splendor and wisdom. So it's the truth.
It's a favorite time of year for sports fans, I would think, because you got, like you guys said, you have like the three major sports going on at the same time. Well,
yeah.
Potentially all four. To be honest with you, potentially you'll have hockey going on. You'd have NBA getting started in October, and then you'd have football already taking place, and then baseball wrapping up. So this time of the year for a sports fan, I think you would be like just in your glory because you got nothing but sports on. And it puts an end to the dead season. Yeah. So yeah, that's cool. I mean, I get it. Not my favorite time of year. Depending on where you live, though, I think it could be.
Weather wise, for the first time in my life, I can honestly say I'm looking forward to cooler temperatures. I love the summer, but it was something about the heat that tried to get me a little bit. So dip it down a little bit. Give me some 60s and 70s, man. I'm cool.
You can have it. Anyway, it's the NBA, big time news going on with the NBA. Big time news going on with Major League Baseball. Big time news going on in the NFL. Well, I don't know about big time, but, you know, NFL is in its third. This is the third weekend, I believe, as far as NFL. Oh, this is the fourth weekend already. Fourth weekend already, as far as the NFL is concerned. So we're going to talk a lot about some stuff. Ime Udike. Head coach of Boston Celtics, will start right there because that's been the big thing with the this week leading into the weekend. Y'all got to help me out on this one. Okay, well, I kind of understand it, and I'll talk about that in a second. But how does your private life get you suspended professionally? And I guess I should be careful how I ask that question because I'll let you guys speak on it at first. But initially my reaction was I still didn't know all the details to be honest with you, but all I kept seeing was, okay, somebody cheated on Nia Long. That's all I kept seeing on social media. Like, okay, what?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you see, right? Like social media is dangerous, man. So we got to be dangerous. We got to be careful too, even on the show when we talk about stuff. But I mean, that's how I was clued in. Like I consider myself a sports person, but I wasn't even clued in until I saw like on social media just passing. Somebody said, "How can you cheat on Nia Long?" I'm like, "Nia Long, what she got to do anything?" And I was like, Ime Udike. I'm like, "Oh, I didn't even know they were together." Like I didn't really care. You know what I'm saying? As a sports fan, that makes no difference to me. And I think they've been together for a long time, like years.
I think they've got a kid together too. So
you may have a child. Okay, so my thing was. For me, and I apologize, all I saw was he cheated on Nia Long. Now he could be suspended by the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bro. I didn't even go together for me. Like, how does all of that even – how does one thing impact the other thing? No doubt. So I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let you guys talk on it for a second. Because for those of you who are just tuning in, if I confused you, it was on purpose because that's how I felt when I first heard the news and saw what was going on.
I don't know. I feel like this feels unprecedented to me. I mean, for all other things that you can get suspended over for a whole year, and there's no promise that the Celtics will bring him back after that suspension. And if I'm being honest, the way it looks, I'm going to say he's not going to be back, you know. I think it's you know, an easy way for the Celtics, you know, to kind of move on from this situation. But I feel like I don't have anything to back it up, but man, I don't think that, you know, an employee has ever gotten suspended from a major sports team, because of something like this. And, you know, I got, and I understand that, you know, the logistics of it, you know, you have a position of, you know, you're in a position of power, which is, to me, is a lot, is the reason why a lot of things, these things happen. You have a dominant male who's in a position of power, and he has this access. And so, you know, women are, you know, to be quite honest, I think women are drawn to that, that power, and that prestige.
Man, you gotta be careful. Some women out there will be like, "Yo, no, I got power in myself." Like, so when you say something like that,
what I'm saying is, historically speaking, men have been in power positions, right? And so, in those positions, I think that a lot of times, you know, a lot of things get thrown your way. And I mean, naturally, I think you have to, in any situation, whether you're in a you know, position of power or not, I think that or position of prominence, I think that you have to be careful in the relationship that you take on. Now, I guess the tricky thing here is that you have two employees of the same company. And so, you know, you have when, you know, you have one person who's in that prominent position who could potentially influence, you know, the employment status of that other employee. I know this has happened before. I know that people have dated within an organization. If I'm not mistaken, maybe it's a different situation, but the Lakers, owner, Jeannie Buss, was involved with Phil Jackson as a coach, and she's owner.
Clearly dating.
And I don't know I don't know what the difference is. I mean, I know there are some differences. You know, they both were consensual relationships, right?
Yeah.
Ime Udoka was not married. He was in a relationship with Nia Long. Mm-hmm. So not married. So in some ways, there are some similarities. Mm-hmm. And the Laker party, those two people involved didn't have any discipline. Now, maybe that's because Jeannie Buss was the owner, and she would have been the one who handed down the punishment to her boyfriend. But I think this thing goes on a lot in different organizations and similar power structures. But this is just, to me, this seems unprecedented for him to get suspended for a whole year. I'm going to say it, I don't have to be right or wrong, but I mean, if it does, there does feel like just some racial undertones there, you know, and so I'm going to say, you know, if he was a white male, would this be a problem? Mm.
Makes you think, don't it? Definitely.
For some reason, the name Kraft comes to mind. But anyway, we'll just go ahead, Ray.
And for me, it's not the name Kraft, but it's actually Rick Pitino. And I realize his situation is a little different because he was married, but he did have an affair, and she tried to throw extortion on him. I was looking that up, you know, while y'all were talking. So in some ways it's different, but the whole point is he didn't get fired for that. He actually got fired for something else, but it wasn't because of that. So I think for me, it was surprising that this happens as a result. I mean, it definitely, I mean, you know, wrong is wrong. I'm obviously he's been with, like you said, Nia for some time. And, you know, of course, all of that speaks for itself, but no, he wasn't married to Nia. And I think it surprises me that the team would suspend somebody a year. Watch how I say this, because this is the first time I've ever heard somebody getting suspended for a year, you know, for any type of consensual relationship, you know, with a staffer. And I guess, and as we know, apparently they said that's the, he violated the rules you know, of working for the organization. But yeah, it kind of surprised me that it was a year. So yeah, that's how I feel about it.
It surprised me at all. Like, I mean, any suspension. I mean, yeah. I mean, bring him in the office and explain the situation. Hey, you know, man, you know, this can't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and make sure he's, you know, clearly aware of you know, what he did wrong, yeah. If he did anything wrong, and then let's just move on. But you know, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It seems to be like an easy out, you know, and I don't know if it's just because of the age of social media that we're in now. You know, things get, you know, get blown out of proportion, or you know, things just start moving very quickly because you know, these things circulate, you know, through all the different medias, and you have all these people who have all these different opinions about what they think should happen. And so and so I think that, you know, so I think sometimes organizations, people are impacted by, you know, what's going on. And rather than, you know, deal with it one way, it's, you know, you go ahead and suspend, you know, fine, you know, fire, you know, those individuals, and then you don't have to, you just don't have to deal with that, you know, the backlash, because you've dealt with it the way you felt like you need to take care of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I mean, we spent the whole first quarter talking about Ime Udoka, who was, for those of you who don't know, was in a consensual relationship with an employee who was part of the staff, who was a female part of the staff of the Boston Celtics franchise. And he was suspended because the Celtics are saying that he violated multiple team policies, franchise policies. So he was suspended. He's being suspended for a year, which took effective immediately. But yet the Celtics still say that they still have not decided on what to do with him moving forward. Now, this is a man who led the Celtics to the NBA Finals, two games away from maybe a possible championship for the Celtics. So that's going to be interesting. I agree with Vince. I see some black and white undertones there, but there's always going to be, this is America, and I don't mean to sound like that, but there's always, you know, that issue looming in the background when you have, matter of fact, regardless of what the situation has been, whether it's been a woman, black or white, Asian, Latino, whatever, whether it's been a man, black or white, you've seen in this society, unfortunately, those undertones can be there. Now, in reference to the NBA right now, and NFL, it's like I've said, Robert Kraft, you know, his situation wasn't the same, but you see, he got away with it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. Mm-hmm. And then you see Deshaun Watson getting suspended for 11 games this season for what he did. And I'm not saying it was justified or not justified, and I'm not saying that he didn't have victims. No, I'm not saying that at all. I am very sensitive to the victims of these incidents. But it's just kind of strange. And Vince, I believe you were right when you said at the top that it is unprecedented, and it is unprecedented. It's to me, it's just coverage, like society, like a lot of stuff is being exposed. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre, by the way, might be getting exposed, potentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and when I say that, I'm saying that there was something going on in Mississippi that wasn't cool. I'm going to come back and talk about that in a second. But this is Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be right back after this time out.
Treats and Beans redefines the concept of waffles and crepes from breakfast side dish to a main dish that can be served or delivered any time of the day. On a day like today, why not treat yourself to this deliciousness at Treats and Beans, located in Oakland, 118 Myron Avenue. For mouth-watering recipes that will blow your mind, waffles, crepes, and coffee, oh my, it's got to be Treats and Beans.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., Trevin A. Jones, covering the world of sports, which is an interesting weekend. We started off at the top talking NBA with Ime Udoka and his suspension by the Boston Celtics, which just happened this week, by the way, suspended for a year because of having a consensual relationship with a female staff member and violating multiple team policies. That's the statement given by the Celtics in reference to his suspension. Of course, we talked about his involvement with this superstar Nia Long, which was on social media, which that's how I found out. I don't even get it. Anyway, we also alluded to, you know, Brett Favre. This is in Mississippi, yeah. Brothers, $1 million Mississippi, $70 million Mississippi welfare scam. Shame. And I think they're going through this, the process or procedures or whatever, and a gentleman's guilty plea. Or one man's plea deal might actually implicate or shed some light on an involvement of Brett Favre. That's crazy. Like, my question in reference to that is, how close was he to the situation, Brett Favre? Because you know how you could be making money and you could be, you know, involved with different people, and different people are, you know, doing things that you didn't think they would be doing, and you're still involved because of the connection. It could be a distant connection. I don't know how upfront it is. I don't have all the details, so I'm not going to act like I do. But just to have you mentioned your name mentioned in a situation like that cannot be good.
No, it's not. But you know, part of me feels like you know, nothing's, in terms of Brett Favre, nothing's really going to come of this. The individual John Davis, who's a former employee of the welfare department, my opinion, I feel like he pled guilty to the welfare scandal, and so I feel like he's falling on the sword, you know, for everybody else, including Brett Favre, and I don't know exactly how close Brett Favre was in this, but every time, and I know it's easy to attach the names to get the, you know, to get the story out. And he's that cachet name. He's a star figure in this, you know. But yeah, I feel like you know, someone's gotta take the heat, and in order to get it away from Brett Favre, I feel like, you know, John Davis, the individual, mm-hmm. pled guilty so that. You know, Brett Favre wouldn't have to take any heat, or because he hasn't, in my opinion, I don't feel like he's taking any heat for this since this all came out. You know, he's kind of been, and he's been in the shadow. His name's been, you know, been out up front, but and he's the one, to, you know, the big name that's been associated with this. But I don't see anyone, you know, really calling for his head in all this. And maybe he's not that close to it. Maybe he didn't know. You know, the details of the funneling of that money, but I mean, $6 million, that's a lot of money. And that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his name is mentioned in it. That's enough for me. You know, I mean, he is being covered, and you know, it is just that, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Balco scandal with all the PEDs that were over there, and the Greg Anderson, the trainer. He would always take the heat for all of those that were working there, was willing to go to jail because he didn't want to confess, et cetera, et cetera. So this almost kind of reminds me of the same thing. But I mean, there's a lot of things I can say about Brett Favre, but watching him and his side comments and what he would say and what he wouldn't say. And you can tell. You can tell it's a straight cover up, man. I mean, you can tell in some ways it's a good old boys move right there. I just have to be honest with you. So.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'm going to, just in case anybody doesn't know, because we're speaking about it, brought it up, but to be honest and to be fair, John Davis, is like Vince mentioned, he's the person of interest in this plea deal. So what's happening is that with Davis's cooperation, it's believed he's to be a key for the state and federal prosecutors who are seeking information on other possible individuals involved in various stages of the misdirected funds. Those under investigation include multiple unnamed co-conspirators with Davis. Favre has come under media scrutiny for nearly $8.1 million in welfare funds that were allegedly doled out to entities tied to the former NFL star. Of that sum, $1.1 million directly went to Favre for public speaking. So I got that directly from Yahoo Sports. And Charles Robinson is the columnist who I just read to you. So to give credit to Charles Robinson, he reported that on September 22nd. So always got to give credit where credit's due. So according to what he's written, and that's just one story, it seems like Brett Favre may be tied a little closer than I was stating earlier, like how you're connected with people, especially public speaking. If you got $1.1 million in public speaking, that's a lot of money. No, now, these... Well, these funds were supposed to go towards welfare in the state of Mississippi. So that's the big story. The big what's going on? Go ahead.
I'm curious. How there are no checks and balances that you know would allow that much money to be funneled out of a welfare, like a government program.
There should be checks and balances. I think
this money is supposed to go to help a lot of people in Mississippi and it turns out it's going to a sports. I don't even understand the connection. This is going to Brett Favre's his daughter's volleyball. This is going directly to help the volleyball team and the facilities and everything. And so I'm just trying to figure out why is that money coming from there? Mm-hmm. The money could come from somewhere, but if you, from some other organization, I'm just curious to know the connection, is it just, and not just the connection between the organizations, the government agency, the welfare department and the school, was Brett Favre speaking on some issues, to help the welfare program? How's that, what's that connection? And then what's the connection, with John Davis and Brett Favre, how close are they? What kind of relationship have they had in the past? That stuff should be brought out. We should be, this should be a really big investigation trying to figure this out. The two situations are related, but man, just over the summer, Udoka had this affair and his punishment came swift,
they said it was a month long investigation, though. An independent investigation. It took a month. But yeah, you're right. It came swift. Go ahead. I cut you off again. I apologize. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're good. Good. We're just talking. Like I said, not that they're the same, but it's kind of still surprising to me. I understand that things happen, they happen all the time, but I guess I'm always gonna be surprised. That this amount of money and how long was this going on? Brett Favre also secured like $3.2 million from a drug company that he invested in, according to some of those court records. And so there's a lot of money, being changed hands here, talking what almost $10 million and that's a lot, man. I want to hear more about this investigation and how deep does this thing go?
And that's cool. And that's a good point. And that's why we brought it up. We don't have the answers. We don't have all of the details. We're just actually bringing up a topic that the general public can listen to and look for more answers. We're bringing up questions, more questions than answers, because we're not legal experts and we're not there. So definitely just bringing up the questions and trying to figure out what's going on with the situation. And again, we just spent the first quarter talking about Ime, and then we just spent the second quarter talking about Brett Favre. And these are issues that aren't even on the actually playing field or the court, which is crazy. But that's a good thing because it shows you how life and sports are connected. A lot of people will try to say, well, sports, that's just for pleasure. It is. It's for pleasure. It's for enjoyment. But sports a lot of times reflects what's going on in society more times than not. Which is crazy, and it's a profession. Once you hit that profession, it's professional. You're getting paid, so there's a lot involved, which is very interesting. Interesting topics, brothers. Interesting topics. What I want to do real quick is shift gears and talk about Andre Iguodala. 19 seasons. I didn't know he had been in the league that long.
Yeah,
so he did make a statement this week. He's coming back for his 19th and final season. With the Golden State Warriors. My thing there is that, Andre's good, but is he that good? Like, he's going to take up the 14th spot on the roster going into training camp. Is he that good?
Not like he used to be.
19 years?
Not like he used to be, but his value, and they definitely value him. And he came back to Golden State after playing in playing in a couple of places. What was that? Was it Memphis he played in for a minute? I guess the team he didn't officially sign with. I was trying to remember. And then he came back to Golden State. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I know he recently. I caught one of him when he first started with the Sixers, and then after that, I know he's been around the league.
Yeah, let me see.
But yeah, so that's interesting. So we're gonna take a quick break. It's the end of the first half. That's how we do here. It goes just that fast. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Got Ray Porter Jr. Got Vince Butts. We're gonna take a quick timeout and come right back after this.
Did you know untreated chlamydia and gonorrhea can make it so that you or your partner might not be able to become pregnant? Get tested today. Visit Allegheny County Health Department's Public Health Clinic for free and confidential walk-in HIV STD screenings at the Hill District location, 1908 Wiley Avenue. Call 412-578-8081 for more information.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Got Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Sitting in this weekend. It's been a few weeks. Brothers, it's been about 3 weeks. Glad to be back. Talking NBA, talking NFL, a little bit of NFL. Just Brett Favre. But speaking of NFL, I want to say, do I want to pause before I get to that? Because I know Vince was at the Steelers game on Thursday. he got to go home, his hometown, Cleveland. You see, he got the orange on. Orange and brown. Right. But before we get into that real quick, Baltimore Ravens, Jason Pierre-Paul, coming back to the Ravens. Going to give them some help on their defense. But the deal is he signed a 1-year contract, but it's based on his physical, right? He has to pass the physical. I like the Ravens, but they kind of let me down last weekend. I'm hoping that they do better tomorrow. But Tua Tagovailoa, is he that good?
He's proven it.
He's proven it? Yeah. Some people would say he has it, but go ahead, Ray. I'm listening.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, who really would have thought and that he would beat the Patriots in week one and he threw for 6 touchdowns?
Who would have thought he threw all those touchdowns in the fourth quarter of the game against the Ravens last weekend?
Exactly. Come back and win. Maybe that's the team. I'm sorry, the Ravens, 6 TDs. But the fact that he played very well against both teams. So I think that he is. And Miami might be the team. Usually that I would ask, are they for real? I think they're looking pretty much for real, but they're pretty much the third best. I mean, yeah, after Buffalo right now, since they beat the Patriots, I think they are.
You think they are what?
I think. Well, let's just say they're the arrow's pointing up with them as far as being for real. The arrow.
Oh, I definitely think they're for real with the off-season moves that they made. You know, strengthening the offensive line.
Yeah,
and getting Tyreek Hill is a game changer.
Yeah, and they love him. You can tell Tyreek Hill and all the other receivers, they love him. So I think, you know, when you have that type of connection and synergy, yeah, the confidence is like whoop. So they looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, I mean they're looking good now. They're obviously, to me, it's a wait and see. Tua put on a great performance, in that comeback.
Yeah.
But for me, the jury's still out. But I think Miami's doing all the right things. Like you said, they had a nice offseason. And to me, when you pick a quarterback high, you've got to surround him with talent, and that goes in terms of playmakers and offensive line. You've got to, you know, you invest high in that position. You've got to protect him, not just in a physical sense, but you got to go out there and get the players to help him. Nobody wins, you know, with nothing around him. I mean, now. an exception could be made for Lamar Jackson, you know, in that MVP season, you know, not dismissing, you know, that there wasn't talent around him, but there are different levels to talent.
Right.
And so, you know, he's always been missing, a top flight receiver, but he has one of the best tight ends in the business. You know, they surround him with very good running back talent. In one sense, for a talent like Lamar Jackson, you know, who's so athletic, I think you can get away with not surrounding him with so much talent. But generally speaking, you know, you can look at, you know, the best quarterbacks on rosters to down to the ones who are not so great, and you know, you still have to surround those guys with talent. I'm sure Tom Brady, who's at the top of that list, you know, would argue each and every day that he needs, you know, he needs talent on that offensive line. He needs to be protected in order to be effective. And you know, and he stepped into a situation with Tampa Bay where they had talent all around him, all around that quarterback position. And so, you know, again, if you invest in a quarterback, especially a young quarterback, you draft him high, you've got to surround him with talent. And I think you're seeing that with Miami. They decided, you know, we have this guy. And I think it's important to do it not just while they're young, but while they're on that rookie deal, because you can surround him with more expensive talent while he's on that rookie deal. And that allows him to develop, you know, it allows him to build confidence, allows him to become a better pro. And so there's a few situations that, you know, those franchises need to surround those players, you know, in Jacksonville. You see Jacksonville's playing better, you mm-hmm. know, because they're putting better talent around the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You can't win without talent. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's been proven. I mean, Philly, look at them. I mean, the way they played Monday night, I was very impressed. Jalen Hurts fighting for that TD, and with AJ Brown on the team, and Darius Slade, the way he's playing, young kid, heck of a cornerback. So yeah, you gotta have talent because of, you know, they want the quarterback to be a savior. But what is he saving if he doesn't have a team around him? Just for,
I mean, look at Buffalo.
Yeah,
Josh Allen. You know, Buffalo went out and got Stephon Diggs. You know, I mean, they went out and got an elite receiver.
Yeah.
You know, just like the Dolphins did. You know. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why the Dolphins are having some success right now. It's because of what's being surrounded by the quarterback position. So. You know, I think it's going to be a dogfight, you know, between in the AFC East, you know, with the Dolphins and the Bills. But I like the Dolphins' chances. You know, now they have a fighter's chance to go out there and compete mm-hmm. with who's ever at the top of that division.
And they're about to play soon, aren't they? Miami and Buffalo. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. I do believe so.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. It brings back almost the old days of Marino and Kelly, almost. But the excitement is there, that's for sure.
I mean, I think, you know, I mean, when you look around the league, I mean, if you have a top flight quarterback and you surround him with an elite level receiver, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to have a chance to compete each and every week. And you know, as I look up and, you know, down the conferences and the divisions, I mean, you know, the Dolphins, the Bills, you know, they're both sitting at 2-0, heading to the weekend. They're in great shape. You know, you look at the AFC West is loaded. I mean, you know, there's a decent quarterback with very good, you know, top flight receivers.
Yeah.
You know, on down from the, you know, the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and Raiders. I mean, look at Cleveland. Cleveland went out and got, you know, they there were some needs, and so you go out and get a quarterback in Deshaun Watson, even though he hasn't played yet and will not play yet.
Yeah.
But you know, you added Amari Cooper, you know, mm-hmm. because you need a top flight quarterback to be paired with a receiver who are both going to play at a high level.
For sure, I do agree. And just look at, speaking of which, watching Amari Cooper, obviously we knew what he could do in Oakland, in Dallas, and to see him over there in Cleveland and the way he played on Thursday, that just spoke for himself. I mean, dude was relied on to make the key catches, the clutch catches, especially in third down, and then he scored the first touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, how could he not? Especially after your both your previous receivers are gone. So
Jarvis and
Odell Beckham. Jarvis Landry and Beckham as well. So I think that was a nice spot. So
I mean, you know, and I mean, you look at, you know, I don't know if we're going to talk about, you know, the third game Thursday night, but you know, across the other side, you know, mm-hmm. to me, you know, the biggest thing with the Steelers and them having success is, you know, securing the quarterback position, but surrounding him with talent. And, you know, and I think that, you know, the Steelers are going to struggle until they shore up that offensive line, you know, and I thought about this earlier. You know, would they have been, I know we had talked about this months ago, but would they have been better served picking up an offensive lineman instead of drafting Najee Harris? And you know, and maybe you don't, because at the time, you didn't have a young quarterback really on your roster. You know, they hadn't drafted Kenny Pickett, you know, and so maybe the idea, because you had Ben Roethlisberger, who was already an established quarterback, you know, you just needed to surround him with some explosive talent, and let him go to work. And maybe, you know, historically, maybe because of his build and his stature and all, he didn't necessarily need a top flight O-line. But, you know, but I think that's proven that you have to invest in that. You have to invest top flight talent on that offensive line in order to have some success. And you know, as good as Najee Harris is, I think he's only going to be so good as that offensive line, because, you know, you have, despite, you know, I think Deontay Johnson is a phenomenal wide receiver. And they have some talent behind him. You know, I mean, Claypool's, you know, he's not a slouch. Maybe he hasn't lived up to his potential yet. You know, but you know, George Pickens, a rookie, has shown some promise thus far, though not getting the opportunities. And so, you know, I mean, there's talent there. But that offensive line, I think defenses are probably keying more on stopping the run and not letting Najee Harris get off, because he is a talent, because he can, you know, he can. I think he can, you know, probably. I think the consensus is that he can be a home run type hitter. So we as a defense, we don't want to let him get off. But you do have, you know, a weakness on the offensive line. So if you can, you know, you can beat that line up, you know, I think it's going to go a long way towards having success against the Steelers, at least this year.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Steelers, man, it's the end of the third quarter, and I got something I want to talk about that one, because it's time. But anyway, matter of fact, it is time. It's time to take a break. That's the end of the third quarter. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. You got Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr., Trevin A. Jones holding it down this weekend. We're going to talk more NFL in a second. I'll talk about that Steelers game on Thursday night as well. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Treats and Beans redefines the concept of waffles and crepes from breakfast side dish to a main dish that can be served or delivered any time of the day. On a day like today, why not treat yourself to this deliciousness at Treats and Beans, located in Oakland, 118 Myron Avenue. For mouth-watering recipes that will blow your mind, waffles, crepes, and coffee, oh my, it's got to be Treats and Beans.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports. Got Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., Trevin A. Jones. And Vince, just, you heard him talking about the Steelers, the Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, Dan Moore, Kevin Dotson, Mason Cole, James Daniels, Chuck Okorafor. The pressure's on them.
It is.
The pressure's on them, because as far as me personally, and I, again, before I even say what I'm about to say, any professional athlete, you have my utmost respect, because you are a professional athlete. You're out there doing a damn thing. I'm a fan. But Pittsburgh, and I love Mike Tomlin as a coach. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. Did I say I love it? I have respect for it. But it's time to give Kenny Pickett his due. Put Kenny Pickett in there. Obviously, there's something that the coaches see in practice that they're not ready for put Pickett in there to take over. But at this point in time, after watching Mitch Trubisky, I think that, in my personal opinion, it doesn't look like he has enough confidence when he throws the ball downfield. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's as mobile as Kenny Pickett, but that's just my opinion. I'm not at practice every day. I don't see what's going on every day. That's just me just, you know, stating what I've seen for performances in the past about Kenny Pickett. But Mitch Trubisky is not the answer for the Pittsburgh Steelers as far as I'm concerned. And you need to put a quarterback back there. If you have a question about the offensive line, you need to have a mobile quarterback back there who's going to take chances, be able to get the ball downfield, and be able to make some things happen. And Vince, I'm going to allude to what you said earlier. In order to win, you have to have talent surrounding your talent. That's true. There's different levels of talent. I'm always hearing from people that the quarterback is the main guy for the offense on any NFL team. I'm always hearing that. It's like quarterback. Okay. Well, if the quarterback's the main guy, it's supposed to be the most talented, one of the most talented players on the team. If you know that the offensive line can't protect him, then you need to figure out other ways how your quarterback can get off, you know, because that's a given. You know, what you had said, Vince, you alluded to maybe, you know, the Steelers might have been better off, when it's picking an offensive lineman instead of Najee Harris. I think they went with the best possible potential player available, candidate available, and they didn't want to pass up on such a great athlete. Because remember, you know, he did big things at Alabama before he even came to the NFL. So, I mean, you can't discredit that. But at the same time, if you know – right now, Mr. Trubisky, on his behalf, in the game, and I actually watched the game last week, on Thursday, the game that you were at, Vince, and throwing the ball downfield, once he made up his mind to throw the ball downfield and committed to throwing the ball downfield, his receivers were getting open and fighting for him. But it didn't look like he was confident in doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the key for him. And I don't think he's as mobile. Me, in my opinion, from what I've seen, he's not as mobile as people say that he is. And when he was in Chicago, I never saw him being a mobile quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think, in my opinion, the Steelers need a mobile quarterback right now, and that would make a big difference. Go ahead, fellas. I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
Yeah, I think he is mobile. I think he's athletic enough. Like, I've seen him, escape pressure. I've seen him step up in the pocket, get out of the pocket. I've seen him make some throws out of the pocket. I think he's athletic enough to make those throws. I
hear a butt coming.
I also don't want to, with the deficiencies at the on the offensive line. I wouldn't throw Kenny Pickett in there yet.
No, I wouldn't either.
You know, I think you got to be careful about what situation you put a guy in. Because if you don't put him in a situation where he can have some success, and I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett can't, but when you throw a rookie in there, like it almost never goes well at first. Like, he's going to go through some struggles, and so if you're prepared, not just as an organization, but as a fan base, you got to prepare yourself for that. And, you know, quarterbacks don't just come in and have instant success. And so knowing that, I'm not sure that right now this is the best situation to put a rookie quarterback in. And also being a Pitt guy, I don't want to see that happen yet. And even if he's better, I think I like to see, you know, Pittsburgh really start to establish, you know, what their identity is. And if they can, you know, shore up that offensive line, just, you know, from a rep standpoint. I know it may be hard to, you know, to once the season starts to get better and better, but if you want to protect this quarterback that you invested a first round pick in, I think you wait and see, you know, how this team can progress from an offensive line standpoint, and if they can develop some cohesion. If they can learn to get better, then you know, at some point, you can put the rookie in and see how he does. If things haven't been going well to that point with Mitch Trubisky, I think you know the problem is not just the quarterback position; it's your offensive coordinator and what plays are being called. And also what the defense is giving you. You know, what kind of looks are defenses putting out there for Mitch Trubisky to see? And so if a team is taking away deep threats, then you've got to check down. And so I don't put it all on the quarterback. and the decisions being made, because he's not making mistakes. You know, so what's really wrong with, you know, with the offense? I mean, you know, put it on the offensive coordinator and some of the protection and some of the plays, having more options than maybe one guy going downfield. You know, put the current QB in a position of success to get more plays downfield. I mean, to me, they're kind of like feeling out each other. And so it's, you know, it's easy to throw some checkdowns, again, especially with what the defense is giving you. And so, yeah, maybe they're not going downfield as much now, but maybe, you know, they'll start to open up the playbook and have some more. Maybe both parties will have more confidence in each other. You know, the offensive players and the offensive coordinator to start opening up the playbook and maybe some, you know, some balls get thrown more downfield.
Okay. This is what I have to say about this. And I've been watching, like Vince, I've been watching this team for the past 3 weeks and sitting up in a press box as well and seeing George Pickens wide open and seeing Deontay Johnson wide open. You know, as we know, offensive line needs time. Yes, make the improvements. You know, they added James Daniels and Mason Cole. And obviously, it didn't turn it around, at least not at this point. But the offensive line needs time to get better. And that's the thing that folks got to realize, especially Steeler fans. I mean, there's no Tinkerbell or Dr. Strange here where they're just going to wave their hand and they're going to turn around and be a bunch of Pro Bowlers. But it's going to take time, and that's the frustrating part, number one. Number two, I don't totally blame Trubisky as well. I don't. Because he's proven that when he wants to get the ball downfield, he can. Well, at least Thursday, I'm sorry, he's proven that. They got 14 points because he actually did stretch the field. And then in the second half, the cuffs came back on, and they were looking like they were in the first 2 weeks. I put the blame solely, or at least 95% of the time, on Matt Canada, because I don't think he's a NFL coordinator. He's not. He was good in college. He was definitely good at Pitt. But I just, you know, why are you putting the cuffs back on, especially if it's working? Just like against the Patriots when they drove down the field and scored their only touchdown. But it's up with this conservative play calling. So I honestly think that it could be possible of a switch, obviously with injury, and we don't ever want anybody to get injured. But also, if they go on some kind of crazy losing streak, you know, the teams are about to get real. It's going to get really interesting for Pittsburgh after New York. They're getting ready to play Buffalo. They're going to play Tampa Bay. And so it'll just be interesting to see, but I'm not too fond. I mean, and they're not going to. I mean, we know they're not going to fire Matt Canada. It could be other things possibly happening, but if something doesn't work, they got to realize that you got to make some adjustments somewhere, because it's obviously not working right now.
Well, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We're talking about the game between the Steelers and the Browns on Thursday night this weekend, and looking at the Steelers. Ray and Vince both cover the Steelers. Vince is a photographer. You'll see him at the Steelers games, and Ray is the writer for UrbanMediaToday.com, which is part of Urban Media Today Radio is a part of Urban Media Today Sports. So that's why I always look to them for their expertise and vision, what they see. Mm-hmm. I still say, regardless of what both of them said, it's time for Kenny Pickett. Yeah. Anyway.
can I say this?
Real quick, go ahead.
I want to give kudos to, I guess I can say my favorite Cleveland Brown right now, Mr. Nick Chubb. I mean, you can't be mad at him. 113 yards on 23 carries. What if he would have ran for 30? What if he'd had 30 carries? The man is a bull. And he pretty much used and played the Steelers' run defense like a fiddle. So, I mean, can't be mad at it. And I even give Hunt his due, too, for his 43 yards that he added as well. So, you know, so I just have to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I appreciate it. As we are wrapping up into the final minutes of the fourth quarter, and we always have a two-minute offense, we go around the room real quick and see what the fellas have on their minds and on their hearts and want to get off their chest. So, all right, Vince, you first. What you got?
So, as we're in the midst of the NFL season, there's some big games this week. I know we're early on in the season, but a few games kind of stick out to me. Yeah, Cincinnati, you know, just came off a Super Bowl run, who are now 0-2, you know, playing against a Jets team that had an improbable win last week against Cleveland. you know, can Cincinnati dig out of a hole? One of the bigger games weekend, Buffalo and Miami. We just, you know, we talked about Josh Allen for Buffalo and Tua Tagovailoa for Miami. That's going to be a huge game to see who's, you know, who's going to reign supreme in that division. Some other big games, Philadelphia and Washington, another conference game. You know, can Jalen Hurts, you know, really cement himself as, and I've heard the MVP talk. I'm not so much the MVP talk for me, but can he make this his team, you know, continue to make strides and show that he's an NFL caliber quarterback. Another game I'm looking to see, Jacksonville and the Chargers. You know, Jacksonville got off to a bit of a nice start this, you know, this year compared to the last couple of years. You know, can they keep up, you know, with the Chargers? And one final game, the Rams and Arizona, you know, the Rams off that Super Bowl win, you know, can they keep that momentum going? And a big division game against Arizona and Kyler Murray after they had a huge comeback. So those are some big games this weekend. I'm looking forward, especially after having that Thursday night game out of the way, get to watch some real football. This, not real football, get to watch a lot of football this weekend.
Ooh, great for the junior. What you got, man?
What I got, I'm going into the world of MLB, and the sights are set on two prominent players, one that's young, one that's on their way out. Aaron Judge is the first one, obviously, because he now has 60 home runs, and he's going after the American League record, which is set by all Yankees, set by Roger Maris. But the fact that he is the first American League player to hit 60 home runs since Roger Maris is incredible, because all the record breakers for the home run titles were all National Leaguers. So I hope that Aaron Judge does get it. He's obviously two away from breaking it, one away from tying it. The Yankees even have him in the leadoff spot to try to get him a chance to do it. So I wish him the best. I like how he's handling things. And I think it's a lot more easier, a lot more fun when you're contending. And, of course, the Yankees are contending because they just clinched the playoff berth and trying to wrap up their division. And also Albert Pujols for the St. Louis Cardinals. See him finish his career with at least 700 career home runs. Glad he went back to St. Louis because, truthfully, he should not have left. So I understand chasing a dollar and getting your money, but St. Louis offered him $200 million as well. So I wish him the best, and I think it's pretty cool to see two players fighting for these milestones.
So just real quick, it's just congratulations to the Las Vegas Aces, WNBA champions. Great job, ladies, and kudos to you. Congratulations. It's Urban Media Today, Talk Sports. That wraps up this weekend. I hope you enjoy the games today. Make sure you get to see your favorite game and just enjoy it. It's that time of year where you get to see all the major sports taking place at some point all at once. So it's Urban Media Today, Talk Sports. See y'all next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it going down? Get up,
the views and opinions expressed on podcasts do not necessarily reflect on the official policy or position of Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio. Any content provided by guests, sponsors, or advertisers are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.